Hi everyone, it's Catherine. Just popping on to let you know that we are doing something a little bit different the next couple of weeks in the lead up to my book, The Competition, coming out in Feb 2022. So we're going to start with a three-part deep dive, no spoilers, but some behind-the-scenes content. And then after that, we're going to do some interviews with social media and publicity experts on what to do when your book comes out. So a little bit like what we did in the early days of the podcast for those that have been listening that long. So stay tuned and hopefully stay well.
For those of you who are regular listeners, you'll know our guest today just by the name Shay, as my very dear friend who gives me much advice and is my general social media guru. But she is, of course, much more than just my talented friend, a copywriter and marketing whiz. Shay Gardner has worked in fashion for many years and is a general social media jack of all trades, who is currently undertaking a degree in media and communications with a digital media major. And it is our enormous pleasure to welcome you to the First Time Podcast.
Thank you. Long time listener, first time guest.
This is so exciting because, Shay, not only are you often quoted on the show, you're often quoted behind the scenes as well.
So true.
I can only imagine.
Shay said, Catherine, will you get back on your social media?
I actually listened to you guys on my run on a Monday and I do hear the shout out, so I appreciate that. And I appreciate Kate, you listen to my advice occasionally.
Always.
She's
always
a guru. I reckon people are following Kate to follow you vicariously. Mm-hmm. She's doing such a good job.
Mm-hmm. She is getting very good at social media, my Kate.
So it's so generous of you to let us and let me pick your brain a little bit, both for the benefit of listeners, but really for my own private gain. So I came up with a bunch of different questions. We're going to focus on Instagram, but maybe if we start with a really basic one, as an author on Instagram, what am I even trying to do?
I guess, look, the thing is, like, you need to decide that. All right. So social media is a tool that you can use in so many different ways. And I always say to people that you really need to get to the end and work back from there. So, you know, you sort of have to think, am I using Instagram because I want to sell more books? Am I using Instagram because I want to get a film deal? Am I using Instagram because I want to, you know, get some speaking engagements? Am I using Instagram because I want to connect with people that I might write a book with, or, you know, that there's so many different reasons that you might.
All of the above. Can I just answer all of the above, please?
Yeah. All of the above. And so the way that you would use social media, or you're going to approach using social media, is to kind of, you know, really, really define what you're aiming for and then work back from there. So if you were, you know, trying to get a book, a film deal, you're going to try and aim your social media and connect with people in the film industry. If you're trying to sell more books, you obviously need to, you know, grow your audience. You need to connect with booksellers. You need to, you know, have exposure events and all that kind of thing. So it's really, I think, about first of all, establishing probably in your head what you want to do and what your end goal is. You know, is it to be rich and famous and sell a million books? So probably, isn't that everyone's aim?
Well, it's interesting you say connection too. I guess that's one that runs pretty uniformly across multiple goals or multiple, you know, things. Instagram obviously has stories and feeds and reels, and they all serve different purposes.
Much do you hate it, Catherine?
How much do I hate Instagram?
Oh, just the expectation, I guess. I think sometimes, particularly with creatives, and obviously your game is writing books and it's not social media and it's probably, you know, not media in general. So I think there's a lot of pressure to sort of jump into a world that you probably don't have a lot of experience in, and you maybe don't use a lot in your personal life. So I think from a professional point of view, it must be really daunting, I think, for people to have to jump in into that space.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
It is. Can you tell us how to do reels? Sorry, I'm jumping in. You keep going, Catherine, and then I want Shay to explain reels to us and the purpose of them.
Well, I guess the observation element is the foray that most people go in with, and that's actually really entertaining. It's just when it's you that's the one doing posts and feeds and reels that the experience feels very different.
Yeah, of course. I think probably that the best way that I think of sort of describing any kind of social media involvement or engagement is kind of think about it like a dinner party. So you're not going to go to a dinner party and turn up and sit in the corner and not say anything and not bring a salad you know, you're going to come and you're going to bring a cheese plate and some funny stories and some anecdotes, and you're going to get involved, and you're going to, you know, you're going to have a two-way conversation or a six-way conversation with who's there. You're going to, you know, give your own ideas. You're going to have a laugh. You're going to, you know, you're going to get involved in the content that's being, I guess, created in that dinner party. So if you think of it more in a natural and organic way of considering, I don't know, social media like a big dinner party, I guess, and just think, like, what are you turning up to the table with, and how are you going to connect with people at the table? But just imagine, then, you know, the table is, you know, hundreds or thousands or however many different people across different platforms. Essentially what you're doing is you're connecting online, you know, in a digital space, but you're connecting with human beings. It's not different to writing a letter or having a phone call or, you know, sending a text. It's just that you're doing that on a larger scale. So when you show up to the dinner party, I guess, you know, bring content. You can't just absorb the content and watch the content and sort of sit on the edge and then think you can throw, you know, like just a, you know, a tile post on social media and people are going to connect with that. Because number one, the algorithm, and I feel like maybe we need to have a little ding, ding, ding every time I say the word algorithm.
But it'll be a drinking game.
Yeah.
We'll be gone. The algorithm's only going to put you in front of people that they think that you're connecting with. And I guess for people that don't understand how the algorithm works, it's, you know, all of these social media platforms create these very, very clever computer programs to make sure that people are staying on the apps and the platforms for as long as possible. So if your content is engaging with people and people are answering and commenting and responding to it, they're staying on the platform for longer. So the algorithm is going to put you in front of people. And you probably don't know, I don't know currently what the stats are, but if you put a post up or if you put a reel or a story up, so few people are going to see that. So you're only going to reach, you know, maybe if you're not engaging, you might reach 2% of your audience. But if you're engaging and commenting and sharing and connecting and reposting and, you know, doing all those little things, the algorithm is going to see that, you know, you're a fun dinner party guest. So they're going to start putting people more. You're going to get more people seeing your content. You're going to have more engagement. You're going to make more connections. And that sort of organically then grows, you know, both your platform, but also just your presence on the platforms, I think.
That is so interesting. I know this because Shay's told me this before, but it makes so much sense and I will hear it again every day of my life. And I think that the other thing is, once you start talking at the dinner party, to extend this metaphor, it's easier, right? So that terrifying thing where I reckon at the start with all platforms, I was so lost at what my voice was and who I was being and the photos that I was putting up. And but then the more that you post and the more that you engage, the more you kind of go, okay, this is my space. I'm just in a whole bunch of conversations. It's an ongoing thing, rather than stepping back and seeing all this content go out in front of you and going, I can't post a picture because it's not as pretty as everyone else's.
And I think the important thing too to remember when you're creating content, and even, I mean, you know, even some phrases like creating content, it just makes it sound like it's a much bigger thing than it is. You know, you're engaging with people that are interested in what you're doing. You're going to connect with people that love reading. You're going to connect with, you know, publishers or bookstores or, you know, these people that are going to actively seek out this content. And I think as long as you make it genuine and you think about who you're providing the content for, it becomes a lot more natural. So you don't have to sort of go, I have to post, you know, 15 times a day and just, you know, try and copy something that I saw on TikTok. You need to think, okay, if I'm trying to reach a certain kind of book reader, what are they interested in? What is the content in my book? What are the topics that I can speak to? You know, what connection is there between the topics in my book and perhaps, you know, other groups or, you know, other hashtags or like things like that that you can sort of try and build a connection with?
Let's talk about hashtags.
Can I was about to say hashtags is something I want to come back to.
Yeah, go.
Are they worth bothering with?
Yeah, they are. There's a little bit I think there's a little bit of a backlash against hashtags because, you know, they can be seen sort of maybe as a little bit old-fashioned or a bit dorky. I think the thing is once you've got a large enough platform, you don't really need hashtags anymore because people are already seeking out your content. So you can kind of drop that. But if you're trying to build your content and you, particularly if you're trying to connect to a certain audience, hashtags are probably the most beneficial way to do it. The thing with hashtags is you've got to be really careful about what you're selecting. So I am in fashion kind of lifestyle area, not specifically books, but I know there's Bookstagram and Am Reading and, you know, Am Editing and all of those hashtags. What you want to look for is how many like followers that hashtag has. You want to do a little bit of a combo of some small groupings and larger groupings, because if you put in, you know, the competition and you put it into Bookstagram and it's got 2 million, you know, hashtags, you think that's a really effective tool. It's not. You're going to get lost in it. So it's good to put it in. You probably want to stick to about, I'd say, 20 hashtags. I would put them in the comments because I think it looks your face then, Catherine.
How do you even think of a hashtag? Do you just think of what comes into your head and
you can write it? Put it into the search engine. So, you know, try Australian authors.
So writing community, which I often put in because I thought that has 11.9 million posts.
Yeah, so too big, babe. Too big.
Too big. Okay, so let's back that up.
Because something you can get like 11 million, but you want to put that in because you do, I mean, again, the algorithm is going to kind of, you know, put its little bots in and it's going to pick that up. So it's going to start categorizing your posts, you know, within a certain grouping. You want to then sort of find something, you know, we like to use a combination of, you know, maybe some micro hashtags. So somewhere around the 5,000 mark. So that might be Melbourne female authors, or it might be new release January books, or all you have to do is find a million examples. But literally think about what you're doing. Tuesday morning book club, or, you know, special guest author speaker, or can you tell I don't work?
Yeah, this is interesting.
No, this is gold.
And then there's specific things like I can think of in our writing community, like Love Oz YA or those kinds of ones, which are reading black books, et cetera, which are specifically really useful to follow in terms of.
And you'll see it as soon as you punch into the search engine, as soon as you sort of start looking around, it'll bring up suggested searches for you. So again, ding, ding, the algorithm will sort of, you know, figure out what you've been hunting for and searching for. I know some people are a bit funny about privacy and clearing their cookies and caches and all the rest of it, but I think if you're trying to establish what would work for you, I would leave all that stuff on because it will start to build up sort of a bit of a profile for you. And then I'd use some medium ones, so maybe somewhere between 20,000 and 50,000, and then throw in a couple of, you know, 11 millions just because who knows? Who knows where you'll end up?
Are you taking notes?
Gold. Okay, well, I am. Notes. They're the worst notes ever, but
keep going. Just all you have really specific questions and I'll just keep on jumping
in. This is great. I believe this is going to appear on a podcast, so you'll be able to...
Okay, so we'll circle back to this very simple thing of Instagram having stories and feed and reel. I'm attached to stories because they're very fleeting. They feel low kind of consequence. Yeah. Can you talk us through why you would use one over the other, what the advantages are?
Yeah, so there's a really big sort of shift, and it's happening across Instagram. It's, you know, obviously because of TikTok and, you know, even on Facebook, that there's a really big shift to short format videos. So that's the way of the future. That's essentially, even Instagram has sort of, you know, come out recently and said that's where their focus will shift to. So they're prioritizing short form video. It's just because we have, you know, attention spans of goldfish and we need to see constantly moving images. And so, you know, the feed or the tile, as we call it, which is a post on your permanent feed, is getting less attention and it's going, you know, it's coming to the front less. Having said that, I would sort of look at your permanent feed as a bit of a resume. So if someone's looking you up, they're going to obviously, you know, probably do a bit of an Instagram stalk, look at, you know, your past feeds, and that gives them a bit of information. It's sort of telling the world who you are, what you've done, you know, your likes and dislikes. You know, obviously that's where you put your book cover for the first time and have it in permanent record. I think for stories is a really good way to sort of expand your storytelling on, you know, on a particular topic. So that might be where you would do, you know, life in the day, or you might be doing your writing process, or you might be doing, you know, a bit of your creative process. You might be doing a book launch, something like that. So it's something that just kind of expands. It's also, yeah, it is 24 hours, so it doesn't really matter, does it? Like you can be a little bit messy, you can be a little bit wilder, but it's
unless sort of, your who is the Nadia?
Oh, yes, yeah, that wasn't great. That,
high consequence story.
Do you think that friendship ever recovered?
Oh my God, never.
Yeah, so that's where you can have like obviously a little bit more personality, but you can expand your storytelling, so you can connect to your audience a bit more. You can sort of deep dive a little bit more into the content that you might be trying to share, whether it be, you know, the process. I know people really like know Kate loves kind of, you know, other people's creative processes and loves to see a day in the life and that kind of thing. So that might be something that you'd share. I think once people connect with particularly a creative, they really like to see a behind the scenes. And that's where perhaps Reels would come in. So Reels it's pretty intuitive. It's fairly easy to work. You could probably watch, you know, a 5-minute YouTube clip and figure out how to do it. It's pretty easy. I think making a good Reel probably takes a little bit longer. That's probably, I would say, for you more about trying to boost your content and get more exposure and then by that exposure getting more engagement. So, you know, if you've got a little bit of a creative spin, you can have a lot of fun with it. It can also be really simple. You know, you can make really simple Reels. It still connects people. You still can be using hashtags. You can still be connecting through it that way. And again, it's just about kind of building on the engagement community that you're trying to reach.
So, Catherine, let me just, because I'm looking at my Instagram at this very point as I try and navigate my way around here. That Reel accidental, which I posted and then had to redo because I forgot to actually put it anywhere, has been seen by 3,050 people of the one of getting your book, which... I know. For our listeners, Catherine's face just lit up. So that's where the Reels live, which I'm looking at. Shay, what do you call the thing? I know you've told me before. What do you call the thing where you save your stories, the little circles? The highlights. Yeah. Tell us about the use of highlights.
So a highlight, I guess, is where you want to, you want to expand that storytelling, but you'll have a specific kind of content goal or subject matter that you want to keep on the permanent feed. It's probably more about you've done a story, you might have done the story behind the design of your cover art or something like that, and you think it's content that people would be interested in if they, you know, sort of come onto your story a little bit later on. So, you know, if someone picks up your book in 6 months' time and they do a bit of a deep dive into your socials and they're like, oh, my God, I love the cover, which I do, by the way. It's such a good cover. But, you know, then they want to sort of, you know, again, if we go back to the dinner party, if you meet someone that you're really interested in, you don't just want to know what they've been doing in the last 24 hours. You're really interested in, you know, how they know the people at the table and what they do and where they came from and what their backstory is. So it's giving people a little bit more of a detailed backstory into you and what you do. And I think, you know, as someone who's not promoting myself, mine might be of holidays or it might be of cooking or something like that. But if you're using it as a professional, it'd be, a little bit of a deeper dive into content.
I have, for instance, got various festivals up there, a writing process one, and also the story of how I lost my shoe with Joxeron.
Well, I loved the story of how you lost
And I did. I like it was such a big story that I saved it forever so anyone can go back and look at the Joxeron shoe story. Can I just add?
After we finish this, I might go back.
And, Jock, I don't know if you're listening to this, but I still do not have my favourite grey boot back. So, you know. It's starting to become
really,
an issue.
I want to be really honest with the listeners, and you can cut this out, but you also left a shoe at my house once.
It's true.
Oh, there'll be a sequel to the shoe story. That sounds great. Shay, one question I had is we both, Kate and I, post about books. Books in a feed are not as dazzling as some other posts. I think they're kind of hard to
make sexy.
How do you make it cool? Yeah. Do you have a
I mean, like, there's a couple of answers to that. But I think also it comes back to being genuine and producing the content for the particular audience that you're creating for. I don't think book people that are really into reading and literature really care about making the book sexy. They're really interested in, you know, seeing what you're reading. They're really interested in what you thought of the book. They, you know, obviously other authors love to see it featured. I think if your job is a content creator, you know, when you're doing flat lays and things, sure, you can do a flat lay. You can jazz it up. You can pop it on a beach with a towel and a water bottle and, you know, you can be sitting on a balcony with some sort of beautiful drink and that, you know, certainly that jazzes it up. It's not going to do a lot. You need to remember that, you know, Instagram really connects you with people based on the words that you write and the engagement that you have. So in terms of your particular audience, if you don't think that they really care about how sexy the book looks, I wouldn't worry about it. It's about being genuine, you know, like, it's, you know, if I was working for, you know, a large department store and I was doing a flat lay on, you know, because we had new books on offer, sure, you're going to jazz up and make it sexy. But I think for you, probably your goal there and your genuine goal is to share another author's work. So share another author's work.
Okay. I'm just doing a deep dive right now into your Instagram. Catherine. I'm just doing a little analysis.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And I would note that I want to ask Shay about reposting and posting in two different feeds, because we've obviously got the first time podcast as well as our two separate feeds. Now, Catherine, I would note that you're very cute, beautifully styled tiles that are up on the first time podcast are not currently posted to your own feed. Shay, please discuss.
Oh, dear. We need to post them everywhere.
Really? Yeah. It feels so me.
No, I know. And I remember this very specifically. This was Kate's problem when she was releasing her book.
Let's talk about my problem. She keeps
releasing book all the time. But she said, I feel it feels you know, kind of really arrogant or really vain. And I said, the thing is that you've spent a lot of time writing this book, and maybe you didn't know where, Catherine, but I'm assuming it's taken you some time. So this is the time that you kind of just need to swallow that and go, you know, this is a piece of work that I'm really proud of. This is something that I've worked really hard on. This is something that I want to give the respect and the time of trying to, you know, promote it and show as many people as possible. You also need to go back to the algorithm and realize that not everyone's going to see it. So, you know, I follow you on social media. I might see 1 out of 10 of those that pop up into my feed. So I'm not going to see them all the time. So you sort of, you have to remember that, you know, dilute what you're posting by about 10%. And that's what people are actually going to see, unless they're, you know, seeking you out and checking you out every day, or they're engaging with you all the time, in which case they're obsessed with what you're doing and they love to see it. I think that it's amazing. I think when people release a book and you see it pop up everywhere, it's just really exciting. It creates a buzz, but also you should be proud of it. And I can't imagine any, you know, friend or stranger seeing, you know, seeing your book pop up and thinking, oh my goodness, is that her book again? Like, how many times do people post pictures of their babies? Like, I want to see a book cover more than I want to see like another slightly different version of someone's newborn, if you know what I mean. But this is what you've been working hard on. I think you need to, you know, move past that and just be really proud of it, but also be aware that no one's ever looking at you and your social media as much as you're looking at it, and no one is, you know, really caring. And if they noted, they're like, great, amazing, she's getting this great press, or, you know, she's been mentioned by someone else. It very quickly, and particularly in stories, rapidly passes by people's eye, and people are genuinely not thinking as much as you might think. So you have to kind of be a little bit ballsy, and you've just got to repost everything, because, again, algorithm, that means that you're going to get in front of more people's eyes, and it just gives your book a better chance to get in front of people. And that's, I guess, eventually the end goal, right? You want people to read the book for you.
I would just like to jump in here to say that Shay's being very polite and nice to you, because she hasn't known you for 25 years as she has known me. But the version that I got of that talking to was just a little bit more kind of aggressive and throw your hands up in the air, and for a long time. And I think actually maybe I typed it out, or maybe you sent it to me in a message. And so I had it up in front of me, and it was kind of like, you worked hard for this. You only have this small amount of time. You know, are required to be on there. You must do the work. You must take every opportunity. It was a real talking to, and it made me utterly lose that idea that I was being a, you know, like, I kind of hate it when people put up on Twitter, like, excuse me for the shameless self-promotion, because what you are doing is you are the face of your book, and the editors, and the publicist, and the publisher, and the person who's answering the phones at the publisher, and the person who printed, you know, like, you really are the face of a bunch of people who you are supporting in the industry. So maybe you have to just shift your head to say, okay, I'm at the kind of face of it here, but it's my job.
It's also a little bit female, isn't it, that we do that thing where we go, oh, no, I couldn't possibly, like, you know, get out there, throw your book out there, be proud of what you've done, promote it. Like, you know, spend your time getting in front of people. I can't think of a man that would be like, oh, no, I wouldn't want to post my book again. I follow some male authors on...
you know, I was about to say, we won't mention any names on
and they are throwing out their reposts 24/7. And again, I don't think anything of it. I just think, good on you. You spent a lot of time on this. This is a project that you're doing. If you were working, you know, you would easily promote your work in the same way. And so the fact that it's yours, and so it feels like it's kind of, you know, a little bit, you know, I guess, self-faced or something like that. It's just, it's this weird thing that we do, that we go, no, I can't promote something that I'm incredibly proud of. But also, this is part of the process of writing a book, of getting it in front of people. And I would recommend probably just committing to, I always think, I think I said this to Kate, just saying, I'm going to spend half an hour a day I'm going to spend half an hour in the morning, I'm going to spend half an hour at night, and I'm going to reach out to 10 people in the morning, and I'm going to reach out to 10 people at night, and I'm going to slide into the DMs of, you know, 5 people each day, and I'm going to reach out and contact this person for this reason, and just tick it off like you would a work list. Just, you know, just it's just part of your life now. It's just what you do. And like Kate said, you've got such a small window to promote it. And it's, you know, book writing is one of those things that takes such a long time, and you do get this small window. And it's, you know, it's years between each book, right?
It absolutely is.
It's not time to be shy.
That's so interesting.
Basically, you've got no more content in about 6 months from the next, what, year until you write another one.
Exactly.
It would be good. Can you break that down a tiny bit more, Shay? When you saying about reaching out to people, do you just mean like tagging them or commenting on posts?
I always say, I think people think, you know, the sliding into the DMs or, you know, connecting with people from Instagram. I think people think it's, I'm going to write them a DM and I'm going to propose this meeting, or I'm going to propose this event, and they're going to write back and say yes, and that's great. And I don't think that social media is used like that. It's not like sending an email to a publisher and, you know, requesting something. It's more what I say to Kate is these micro connections. So, you know, you will notice if someone tags you in a post and then all of a sudden their name's familiar to you, and then you might, you know, you might see someone's book in a bookstore, or you might see, like, you know, a really kind comment on it. So you might put them on Twitter or Instagram and you tag them. And so in doing so, it's just, you know, it's like building a friendship or a social connection. It doesn't happen all at once, and it's not just this one formal reach out. It happens over these tiny micro connections and, you know, little comments and shares and engagement that eventually sort of build a connection with someone, and then all of a sudden they've got an event or something and they go, oh, yeah, Catherine, I've been chatting to her online. So it doesn't, it can just be a thumbs up. It can be, it's really important.
I love that.
It's really important to like and, you know, comment and engage. If you see someone that, you know, has clearly spent time making a reel, or you see an author that, you know, has finished their first draft, or you see a publisher that's, you know, promoting a new author, get involved. It's your community. Engage with them, you know, find a way to reach out. And if you don't make it unnatural and you find a genuine connection to it, it should be really easy. I mean, that's your community, that's your world. But just make sure you're doing it constantly, and you're doing it across, whether it be DMs or comments or retagging, you know, do it across a variety of sort of actions. And that, I think that's what will just slowly and organically build your reach anyway.
Why have we held off on this for so long?
Planned it a lot. And then anyway, carry on. Shay will like have her own podcast, and we'll be like the, plebs off on the side. You said a moment ago, Shay, about like putting aside time. And just when you were talking about time, I want to ask about, you know, you obviously work and have worked for large companies who have kind of big strategies, big plans. There would be scheduling of posts and things like that. We're not at that capacity, but is there ways that we can kind of make it more streamlined for ourselves, or like go, okay, I'm going to post at a certain time, or I'm going to plan out my post for a week? Is there stuff that we can do like that?
Yeah, I would. And I think particularly for your permanent feed, I would definitely do that, because obviously visually, you know, you want to mix up how it looks, but you also want to have varied content. There's some really amazing apps and programs that you can use that you can basically plan out all of your content. And I would, you know, from a larger corporation, we look at things like marketing strategies and social media, you know, planning forward. So we would work, you know, a week in advance, a month in advance, 6 months in advance for more strategic campaigns. But I think you can easily do that for yourself. You know, you might, Monday might be your work in progress post, and Tuesday might be your shout out to a particular bookstore or an event that you've done. And Wednesday might be what you're currently working on. And Thursday might be a book that you love and that you've read. And Friday might be, I don't know, a loose Friday reel. Like, you might be doing a cocktail reel. Who knows how you're going to go after this, Catherine? Like, we want to see this content amp up. But
you know who does that so well? Sally Hepworth, in terms of a writer person. She has, like, Writerly Wednesday, something, shout out Tuesday, whatever, et cetera.
Yeah, and that's kind of consistent posting. What obviously the algorithm will do is the more that you engage, the more that they will push you up. But if you have regular content that's getting sort of solid engagement, that's probably the best way to, again, organically build your reach. And also, I think if you know what you're doing on a Monday, it makes it really easy. You could probably easily, if you know that you're going to talk about a book that you fall in love with on a Thursday, I mean, how easy is that? You could probably pre-plan that 5 weeks in advance and your Thursdays are done. You can pop them in programs that will literally post them for you. You can do ones that will sort of ask your permission to post or automatically post. You can do that across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think if you want to use multiple platforms, Hootsuite is a really good one to use. There's Planoly. There's a bunch of them, depending on what you want to do. But I think having that sort of structure to your social media in terms of, you know, your main posts, and then what you'll probably find is as you sort of, you know, get more involved and it organically grows a little bit, the interaction that you'll have with the community and the engagement will then lead to more content. So you might have someone reach out to you and say, oh my goodness, I was at, you know, obviously the competition is about Toastmakers. I was at this event and the funniest thing happened. And then that leads to a little story that you can do some content on. Or you might know that you've got an upcoming event, and so you might do some stories kind of promoting that event 3 days before to allow people the time to be able to get there or buy tickets or whatever it is. So I would definitely probably, I don't know how organized your life is. I like to be hyper organized. I would look at, you know, like on a Sunday, just sit down, give yourself half an hour. You definitely could plan out a week's worth of content in half an hour without a big issue. You might not have the imagery. I think if you're going to attempt to do things like reels, that takes a little bit of mastery of just learning, you know, learning the skills for it. That might be a once a week thing for you. But in terms of planning out a post, half an hour,
you can. You make it sound so easy. Like I can see, like I come off this and I'll be like, my God, just do everything.
The thing is too that you've got to, I mean, I always kind of laugh, but I mean, there is, I know they're not supposed to be using this, but there are 12-year-olds using these platforms. These platforms are designed to be really intuitive, to be really easy to use, to be really easy to understand. It, like, they are not complex platforms to work out. And I think probably the more complex thing is figuring out what you're going to do with the platform. And I think, you know, like I said, work back. You obviously probably your main purpose is to engage and interact with your community and build your reach. So once you know that endpoint, you can work back from there.
So we can put it in our show notes and links as well. Who's the guy that you told me to follow in terms of something like Instagram being a changing kind of a platform as well, so that it shifts and changes? What's the guy's name?
I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Adam Assiri.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will put
I think how many times a day do I tell you to?
I know. I know. She tells me lots of things, and eventually I listen and learn. But like, that's the guy. I was like, oh my gosh! Suddenly you can put links in stories. Like that is so useful. Like, so useful, especially for when we're advertising events and you know, products and etc. And you don't have to have.
Catherine's looking confused, but he's the head of Instagram.
Yeah.
And he's
right.
Yeah. So he's basically the Zuckerberg of Instagram. You know, he's Zuckerberg's sidekick, but he's actually a really lovely guy, and he's got a really lovely way of kind of explaining the platform in a really user-friendly manner. He does, I think it's Ask Me Anything Fridays. He has very scheduled content kind of, and he just explains the new features of the app. He explains what they're doing, where their focus is, where the algorithm is going to direct people to, how to build more content, how to get more reach, what they're prioritizing in terms of exposure, you know, what new stickers and music and what companies they're rolling out certain things, how to change your feed. He's basically like a user manual on Instagram, but he's also the one in charge of making decisions about how it's going to work. So he's so fascinating. I think he does stories almost every day, and I'm just obsessed with him. It doesn't hurt. He's a little handsome and very, very intelligent.
Never hurts.
Well, that's a win.
Never hurts.
Slightly different question, image descriptions and captions, are they a must?
Yes, absolutely they're a must. They're a must for two reasons. Obviously it's an accessibility thing. So there are many people out there who might have visual impairment. There's probably a number of other reasons that people don't like looking at bright screens. So they'll use, I think I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's called screen reading. So they'll actually read out the captions themselves. And I think that we need to be really careful always to make sure that our physical spaces are really accessible and fair, but we also need to make sure that our digital spaces are really accessible. You want to make sure that the content you're creating can reach everyone, regardless of their ability to see images, and so they can be read out. On a second part of that is, I guess, slightly a more selfish one, but a more relevant one for content, is creating an alt text, which is essentially what it is. If it was on a website, that would be, if the website jammed, it would give you an alternative text description of what the photo was supposed to be. That's not going to happen with Instagram anytime in this century, but it also helps the bots read what your content is about. So it's creating sort of more metadata around your image, because they will, the bots will look at, you know, both your comment and your hashtags. But if you do a descriptive text, that also helps with reach and exposure, and it helps with the algorithm to put you into certain categories. So it's a super amazing thing to do, and it's also an advantageous thing for you to do.
It's like a degree. We're getting a degree in one podcast interview. It's too much. I can't.
We should get this translated so I can absorb it slowly. Yeah. One of the things that we were talking about before we came on air was about clothes to wear and not wear in video. I guess you can adapt it to reels and that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
Now we're back in my wheelhouse. What I'm actually qualified to talk about. No, you've got to be really careful. We were talking about how obviously you're only usually seeing waist up. There's certain colours that are really jarring on screen. There's certain prints. We were talking about a micro stripe. So I love a stripe, but a really, really fine stripe will kind of slightly distort on screen. The screen can't read it as well, so it kind of looks a bit blurry. It sort of looks like you're kind of warping a bit. So you want to do a bold stripe. You want to think about your background. I know me and Kate have done some work on making sure that her background is clear and crisp and things moved out of the way. That's how people are going to see you. People will be taking screenshots. People, that's how they're going to remember you. We are, you know, probably, you know, visual creatures, particularly on social media platforms. So just be conscious of it. Be conscious of what's in the background. You don't want, you know, you don't want clotheslines in the background. You want like a reasonably, you know, like not a clear background, but you want it to be relevant to what you're doing. Like you're both sitting in front of, obviously this is a podcast, but you're both sitting in front of bookshelves. It feels very appropriate to me as authors that you're sitting in front of a bookshelf.
Can I also say what Shay is very good at is lighting. And I say this from experience because at every single function we are ever at golden hour, we are all dragged from wherever we are to the appropriate position. And Shay says, you will thank me later. And we always do, because we always look glorious. How important is lighting when we're thinking about either being online in videos or taking good shots, etc.?
It's super important. I'm looking at my own lighting right now because it's very dark in Melbourne and I have an overhead light that is coming from the wrong way for me. So lucky this is a podcast, but that's not a good light. So you can really simply pretty much pick up your phone and turn around. You'll be able to see what light you look best in. You don't want any shadows across your face. You want like a glow coming from somewhere, whether that be a ring light or whether it be, you know, a table lamp that's, you know, probably in front of you. You always, always obviously want the camera from coming above, facing down, which again, mine is not. But you can see yourself in the camera. You know what's going to look best, but you also need to think about, having those car shadows behind you, having weird things behind you, but just move your camera around until you can see that you've got a fair, even light in front of your face, because it's really distracting when people have big shadows over their face. And it's also really distracting when you're, you know, people are wearing, I like a bold print, but I think if it's a really, you know, like kind of visually confusing bold print, you start looking at the shirt more than you're listening to the conversation. So I think, you know, neutral colours, block colours are always great, a really simple print, you know, as much as a clear, uncluttered background as you can get a ring light. They're like $20.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we are on that train, aren't we, yeah. Catherine? We've told
everyone. Well, I don't think I chose well with the ring light because I don't know where to put it. I think I need one that goes on my desk.
Move your desk out and put it behind the desk.
Oh, yeah, I could put it behind the desk. But yeah, the desk is on the wall anyway. Yeah,
you want it sitting behind your computer or, like, basically right where your computer is going to give you the best light. But, you know, also, too, like, take 5 minutes before you jump online somewhere and have a look at how you look. Send a selfie to a friend and go, which angle is better? Do it in golden light. Golden light is about probably somewhere between 5 and 7. So if you've got that setting light so you don't have sun directly over you, outside can be absolutely amazing if you can time that well. If you've got any evening events, it's the most beautiful light. Everyone should shoot in golden light. Everyone.
The Kate, wisdom it's just of nodding.
I know, because I already have the, God. You know what I'm thinking, and we can cut this bit out if Shay says to me later, I feel like we should have just a once-off Agony Aunt session where Shay is our social media Agony Aunt and people get to ask questions, because I feel like we're going to get off the end of this and everyone's going to go, I have a million questions for this woman. Anyway, we'll talk about that later, Ghazi.
Absolutely.
It's something that you're used to and something that you work within, you understand how it works. It's really easy, right? I could not write a title of, well, I'm a copywriter, I can't write a title, but I could not write a chapter of a book. And, you know, the wealth of knowledge that you guys bring, and a point that I wanted to bring up is when you're thinking about the content and what people would be interested in, the two of you have literally made an entire, five-season podcast based on giving content to similar-minded people to engage with within a writing community. You don't need me to tell you what your community is interested in, because you've literally made a podcast about it and you've connected with thousands of people. So you already know what people want to talk about. You already know what authors are interested in. You already know people that love your stuff. You already know how to connect with people. You've been doing it for years now. So you just need to do it with the slant of, you know, in your case right now, Catherine, this amazing, I got a copy. You know how to build content for the author community because you've been doing it for years now.
She's really good.
Best.
I know.
You're the best. Oh, my God. So
not everyone
good.
Gets to have her as one of her best friends. Oh, my God. I will let you all share her.
I don't know. Apparently I'm the new social media agony aunt, so maybe everyone does get to have her.
I love it. 100%. I'm out of questions.
No, there's one more that we have to ask about how we get free bed threads. Like how do we get people to send us stuff other than books?
That's a really interesting one. And connecting with brands or connecting with people, again, I think it goes back to the genuine connection, and there has to be a reason. So you can't just, I mean, you know, you did the podcast, you were talking about bed threads. That's like a relevant kind of connection. You can't just ask people for things. And you probably ask for some, you know, I think you guys get free books, right? You can definitely ask for books.
Do you mean that those people who send us messages to ask to do their active wear, they're not for real, Shay? Is that what? No. Damn it. Oh, that was really cool.
Are you doing, you know, you have been doing a lot of sports content, Kate, so maybe it's from that.
Yes.
Always think of, you know, it's formally called a partnership between a brand and a person, but think about it as a two-way street. You need to be able to be bringing something to them and they need to be bringing something to you. So obviously, I mean, I hope we're joking about the free bedding, but if you were talking about, maybe doing an event for someone or you want someone to promote your book, think about what you can bring for them. Think about how you can bring your audience to what they need to do, and make sure that it's always a give and take environment. You don't want to be just asking for something, and you also don't just want to be giving something without, you know, it's like anything, right? It's a working relationship, or even consider it like a social space friendship, but both of you need to be getting a benefit from it. Otherwise it's not going to work. And it's pretty easy to think of benefits that you can bring to brands. And I'm sure it's pretty easy for brands to think of benefits you could bring to them, but just make sure it's organic and genuine, and don't try and all of a sudden, you know, try and get like a collagen supplement partnership. Supplement. I don't know. I would love those, but
that would be great.
You know, make it a genuine connection with what you're doing and what you're interested in. And if there does feel like a product or a partnership that would makes sense to you and you think that you could offer each other genuine value in it, then reach out. And I think you'll be really surprised at how eager people are to do that organically.
Oh my gosh, that's our experiment for this year. But it did make me think in a little bit of a way, that's how things like festivals, et cetera, work as well. That acknowledgement that if you go, and this is what, you know, I often say is go tag the festival and everything, do lots of content. And then, you know, the festival is so thrilled, then you've already developed a relationship in that space as well.
Take a salad to the dinner party, ladies. You've got to turn up.
Take a salad to the dinner party. We can make some great tiles from this content, you know. Shay, is there anything that we've missed? Is there anything big that you need to school us on before we let you go and before we start to do the contract of how you're going to be our agony aunt?
No, I don't think so, but I want you, Catherine, to be really excited by it. I think I want you to, you know, realise that there's a whole lot of people out there that don't already have the chance to know your writing and that would love to, you know, experience your writing. And so think about it as going out there into the, you know, into the world and giving the gift of your book to people that you haven't connected with yet.
Thank you. This is such a delight. It's so interesting talking to you because sometimes Kate gives me lectures and now I realize she's just channeling you when she gives them.
Like, that's true. It's true. I do this in all aspects of my life. Let me be very clear. Just mostly Channel Shay.
You know, guys, it's an absolute delight because it's one of my favourite podcasts and I listen every week religiously and I love hearing you guys talk. And, yeah, just listening to you guys explore authors and all of that stuff is just so amazing for a complete, you know, non-writer like me in that world. So keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing.
We love you.
We love it.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.